because I think we sing words like that, and we can sing them kind of flippantly because we're not in a war, not physically. But you know, there are people all around us in our world today who are, who still sing those songs. Will not fear, you will not help always. Well, we've been, a couple months ago, I was in my office, in my study downstairs, and was working on planning out my preaching path, basically for the rest of 2021. I try to do that so that I am not just shooting from the hip every week and trying to figure out where we go. I was reading through some of the Psalms, and apparently I had been listening to some music earlier too, because I thought, what a series title, Good God Almighty. And today we're going to talk about how He is good. That phrase, Good God Almighty, has been around for a while, but it's often been used in a way that's almost derogatory, not really an expletive, but a way to express disbelief at something that happened, right? Clearly, that isn't where we're going with this phrase. That's not the way we're going to explain it to it. Over the next several weeks, we're going to unpack this phrase. And I don't know whether you're familiar with the song. You will be by the time we're done with this, I got to tell you. Crowder recaptured this phrase, Good God Almighty, with his popular song that was released earlier this year. And we're going to watch the video together. There's sound on this, Larry, from the computer.
Yeah. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
Yeah, that song will be in your head all day now. It's been in mine for weeks. I thought about growing a long beard for this series. Wearing all white. I can't sing that high, though, so I don't know that we'll have to get chained for Dave. I saw that chain on the drums. I'm not sure what that's all about. But we're going to turn to the Psalms this morning. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. We read these words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, what do you think of when you think of somebody being good? When you try to define that word good in your mind, and I think what you're going to find is that it's really not that easy to define. It's really not. The word good, we use it in so many different ways that it's sometimes hard for us to capture. We think of it sometimes as a measure of quality. Is something good as opposed to something else being not as good or not high in quality? In this regard, we think in terms of something being good in comparison to something else. I'm not good at basketball. Not just because I'm getting older, but because I never was good at basketball. Not just because I'm vertically challenged, although that's part of it. Usually people that are of my height, my stature, get to be really good shooters. They practice a lot and they can shoot from outside. No, that's not me. Either that or they can dribble really well and control the ball really well, pass off really well. That's not really me either. About the only thing I can do in basketball is I can play defense a little bit. As long as the person's not very tall, I can play defense and drive somebody crazy as they're trying to play. That's about it. When I was in college, I was on a basketball team, not the one that represented Mount Vernon Nazarene University. I was on a team. We would go down every night pretty much and just kind of play pickup ball. But I was on involved in the, I can't even think of the word they call it now, the intramural sports. I was on an intramural team, and I think it was either my junior or senior year. Most of us religion majors came together and we had a team that were all in our group for intramurals. And we had a rule that you couldn't be over 5'10 and be on our team. We had one guy that was 5'10 and he was our center. It didn't go real well when he was up against the 6'5 guys from the other teams. But we had some really good outside shooters. We didn't lose all of our games. We had some really good outside shooters and some guys who could really handle the ball well. I just wasn't one of them. They did let me play once in a while, just, you know, so I could get a little bit of exercise. But I just have never been good at basketball. Now, in comparison to basketball, I was pretty good at baseball. I enjoyed playing baseball when I was younger, and I was on a traveling team, and I would have continued playing had I not gone. I was like 11 years old, and I went to a game where 15 and 16-year-olds were playing, and I thought, man, I can't hardly see that ball, let alone hit it. I'm scared to death standing there, and so I quit. But I understand the game. I've played a lot of softball. I'm okay, pretty decent at softball. And so we'll use good to define somebody that is not bad. But a good player is not as good as a great player, right? And so sometimes, well, let me say this. In comparison to Major League Baseball players, even Pittsburgh Pirates, I would have never been considered very good. Sometimes people get confused when we say that God is good, and we think of it as that we're talking in terms of quality, that God is good. I've even had people tell me that they're somewhat offended when we say that God is good, because to only think that God is good when in reality God is great, that's not what we're saying when we say God is good. We're not comparing. We're not talking in terms of his quality. You see, instead, when we speak of God being good, we're talking about in the contrast between good and evil. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. In other words, God always does right. He defines what is righteousness. God is good. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, there was a conversation with Jesus that talked about this concept of goodness. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Is he good? He is good. You were supposed to say that's part of the song. Is he good? Then you say back, he is good, okay? Is he good? All right, there we go. When is God good? We do say that, don't we? God is good, and all the time. But then we turn on the news, and we see the persistence of wars, shootings. I was up early this morning. I have a hard time sometimes sleeping, especially on Sunday mornings. If I wake up, I start thinking about the message. I start thinking about the service. So I'll go downstairs and actually throw on the news and drink a cup of coffee. I saw on the news just this morning that there have been 6 mass shootings since Friday night in our country. And a mass shooting, they said, is defined as 4 or more people being shot. Now, not all of them died. There, several children have died as a result. 6 mass shootings in our country just since Friday night. Innocent people die at the hands of criminals. Drunk drivers continue to kill. The doctor gives a diagnosis nobody wants to hear. COVID-19 affects all of our lives in ways we never could have imagined. Let me ask you again, is God good? He's good all the time. How is that possible? Does it even make sense in light of all the things that I just mentioned? And believe me, there are plenty more things that I could list as well. Back after the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, this passage from the Psalm that we read this morning was one that everybody was drawn to. The psalmist tells us right off the bat that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. This psalm is written during a time of chaos, probably a time of war in the lives of God's people. We would wish that the writer is telling us that God will change our situations so that we don't face problems. It would seem that if we take refuge in the fortress, that nothing bad could happen to us, right? But then we know that that's not really a reality. That's not been my life. We would prefer it if he would keep us from trouble. But he is not, get this, he is not a refuge from the world and its troubles. He is a refuge in the midst of trouble. God is our refuge and strength in times of natural disasters. Fires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. They affect people's lives every day. I wish I could tell you that if you're a Christ follower, you can be confident that none of these things will affect your life. But that wouldn't be the truth. There are some people out there that would tell you that if you're really serving the Lord, that everything's going to be peachy keen and your life is going to be great and there's never going to be a problem. That's not the reality, is it? Even in times when everything is falling apart, the psalmist says, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. It doesn't get much worse than that, does it? Even if the earth gives way. You ever been in an earthquake? I've experienced some really minor ones. Once when I was in college, I was at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, and we were sitting waiting for lunch to start on a Saturday, and my LW, the Living Witness team, was getting ready to go sing and preach at a church. And so we were going to get lunch, and then we were going to hit the road and take off. And so I was sitting on a bench, and one of the girls from my team was sitting there beside me, and there was this minor earthquake that happened. And she hit me and said, "Quit that." Like, I didn't do anything. The earth started moving just a little bit. She thought I was shaking the bench that we were sitting on. Another time I was in Cambridge, Ohio, weird place to experience an earthquake, but I was upstairs in my office there. My office was on the second floor, and I was sitting on a chair that wasn't real stable. It would rock back and forth sometimes. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden my chair just started going back and forth like this. World. I went downstairs and asked my secretary if she felt an earthquake, and she's like, you need to take a break or something, because nothing. So I went back upstairs and I looked at the geological evidence, and it said yes, in fact, there was an earthquake that happened at the time that my chair started going side to side. I don't know whether she still believes me to this day about that. I've not been through a difficult, hard earthquake. I wish that I could tell you, if you were a Christ follower, none of these things would affect you. But even when things are falling apart, the psalmist says that in the midst of the things that can and do happen in our lives, and there's not anything worse I can think of than the earth falling away from you, or a mountain falling into the heart of the sea. Things are going to happen in your life. They're going to seem that bad, whether it's a physical earthquake or not. Maybe it's a doctor giving a diagnosis. That's what it was for me. Not my diagnosis. When those 7 or 8 doctors came in to tell us that my granddaughter had cancer, that rocked my world. midst of the hardest times we will ever experience, He is our refuge and strength. He is good. God is our strength and protection in the midst of political chaos. You know, we've been somewhat fortunate in our country when it comes to political chaos, at least in our lifetimes. Now, I know that last year it seemed rather chaotic, but in comparison to the wars that raged around Israel and even still rage around Israel today, what we experienced last year in comparison was quite mild. In the midst of the raging wars and chaos that surrounded the people of God, the psalmist says there is a refuge, there is a fortress. We tend to read this psalm in times of pain, disaster, and chaos. It was the inspiration for Martin Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And the chorus, "Be still and know." It's one of the most beloved of the psalms, largely because we do live in an often chaotic world, right? One where we don't often have control over what is happening. We easily get overwhelmed with our to-do lists and the things we just don't seem to be able to get to. Sometimes I see the political chaos that surrounds us, the racial inequities that constantly are in the news, the divisiveness that fills our world, and I get overwhelmed by the things that would want to destroy us. And yet our problems seem so small in comparison with some others. One of the hardest things to do in the midst of chaos is to remain calm, to remain confident and still. When so much of is happening, that life is on the edge, it's teetering, it's hard. But the psalmist closes this psalm with some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." No matter what you may be going through today, no matter what you have experienced, no matter what you will experience, we can know that God is good. He is with us. He is our fortress in the times of trouble. I would like to close this morning with some of the famous words from Martin Luther's hymn based on this psalm. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." Go a couple of slides forward there. "That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth." Isn't that awesome? "Him who with us sideth." Yeah, I know it's old English. I get that. We don't talk that way anymore. But I get excited when I think about Him being on my side. "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." Amen. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Just a moment, we are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper.